You know, we are working towards rewards in heaven, right? Yeah. Everybody wants rewards? I just want to get there. But the bonus is that we get rewards when we get to heaven. And I know at times it gets difficult for us. I mean, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord here. We are going through these end times together. And we are finding that line between those who follow Jesus and those who follow the world. We see that line being drawn broader and broader, where either you're on one side or the other. We're seeing churches being shaken right now. And those who are following Jesus are lining up together, and those who are following man's doctrines are going their own directions. You know, Jesus never changed. He says that you will see signs and wonders, and those who follow him, you know, we speak in an unknown tongue, that lay hands on the sick and they recover. You know, that hasn't changed a bit. The Word of God has never been watered down. Man is watering the Word of God down. So man wants to take our own sinful self and force ourselves into a mold that makes it look good in front of everybody else. And if you don't read the Word, you won't know what it says except by listening to the preacher behind the pulpit. Amen? Isn't that right? I mean, if you never open the Bible up, you have to rely your information on someone that stands behind the pulpit or someone who claims to be a Christian. Which, if the person behind the pulpit, if you trust them and then call to them, that could be all right. But some people behind the pulpit is not preaching the gospel. Amen? And it's true. So that's why we always try to always give you the scripture to look up yourself in the Bible. Okay? But one thing you need to do in your pastor you're visiting today, you need to have trust in your pastor. You need to have confidence that he is called by the Lord to present the gospel to you, okay? But then always keep a checkup on them, okay? Never just blindly say, okay, the pastor said we got to wear purple on Tuesday that we don't get to heaven, okay? That sounds outrageous, but you know, you laugh because you know that's not true, don't you? You know you get to heaven because of Jesus Christ. You know that. Why do you know that? Because you've heard it, you studied it, you know? But some people wouldn't know. I mean, as far-fetched that might sound, some people might not know how you get to heaven. But we know. You know, as we study the Word, and our rewards come to us in this life and the next life. But the main thing is to trust me. How many people trust me here? How many people not too sure yet? Wow, everybody's hand went up, you know. My own cousin's hand went up. Bob Donnelly. Bob, would you come down here this morning? He has no idea how to calm him down here. Put you on the spot, Bob.
Been there before.
You've been there? Okay, brother. Good to see you today. You trust me, don't you, Bob?
Yes, sir.
I asked him this morning. I said, Bob, do you trust me? He said, yes. That's all I needed to hear. Bob, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
If I remember. Let's see. Bob, how much do I weigh?
228 and a half pounds.
Well, Brother Joe, pull that paper out of your pocket. How much do I weigh?
228 and a half pounds.
Wow. Hey, you never know when knowledge pays off. There you go. Fantastic. Bob, what was my dad's middle name?
Okay, old style country boy. Laverne.
Laverne. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. Now, I don't know if people will trust you anyway. I'm not sure. I should get a... You never know when knowledge pays off. Mm-mm.
Yeah, we trust Bob. We're ready to go.
Bob, what is my all-time favorite TV show?
Oh, it's got to have Barney Fife in it.
The Ghost of Mr. Chicken. Joe, check the sheet.
That's right.
My land. Well, here, you never know when it pays off. Okay. Now, here's a tough one. Bob, what is my favorite all-time food?
Oh, you're old country, remember?
Yeah, I'm old country.
Fried chicken.
Fried chicken. Joe?
Chicken. That's right.
Wow. There you go. Paid off. Look at that. Isn't that fantastic? Wow. How did he know that? Bob, what did I tell you, though, earlier? You came in the back door. I said, Bob, do you trust me?
Yes, sir.
I gave you a piece of paper. I said, it'd be beneficial to you to study this.
Yeah.
That's all I said, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You had no idea what I was going to do.
No, sir.
No. So he trusted me. He studied the words that I gave him. And look how beneficial it was. That's awesome. You know? I was going to put one in there with a stumper. Okay? Like my mom, dad's phone number or old phone number and stuff. But this is on the web now, and my mom and dad have been passed for several years. I'm afraid someone would hear it on the web and start calling the number, you know, they're asking parents. But, see, if I would have gave you, asked you a question, that you wouldn't really know the answer, but you know how to find the answer.
Correct.
Because you would go back here, grab that piece of paper, and locate it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bob.
You're
welcome. Amen. That is the same way with us today, you know. We look at the Word. We say, study the Word. Study the Word. You know, you just get it in your heart. Understand what it is. Because you never know when that word will pay off. You know, we have rewards from God. Can you imagine God giving us rewards? I mean, Christ died for our sins. He saved us. Why do we need any more rewards? Isn't that being not going to hell, being reconciled with our Father in heaven is enough? But He says, listen, follow me. Do these things, and I'll reward you. That's awesome. You know, we had children in the church here a few weeks ago. One of them was crying a lot, acting up a little bit, and the mother took him back to the back of the church here. So I went to mom and said, hey, mom, hey, I got a stuffed animal you can give the child. She said, oh, no, thank you. But he says, I never reward bad behavior. I thought, wow, that is awesome. Only reward good behavior. Okay? And so going back, focus on our messages has been is that our main reward for following Christ will be in heaven. Okay? The things of the world will be enticing to us. The things in the world will try to get a hold of us, that draw us away from the Word. But anything that the world can offer us today outside of the Word of God is just temporary. Okay? It will not last. The only thing that will last is the Word of God. And that Word will never, ever perish. And Jesus gave us a heads up. He said, now listen, as you receive me as your Savior and Lord, as you follow me, especially in these times, you know, 50 years ago we could follow the Lord, and it was more acceptable, wasn't it? You know, I wasn't there myself, but you know, 50 years ago, Carol, wasn't it, hon? No. But it was. At one time, everybody went to church. You know, you had one church in the center of town. You know, the church used to be the nucleus of the town. When you first founded a town, they built the church, and everybody else lived around it. It was acceptable to be a Christian, to follow the Lord. But through the years, over the last three or four decades, man, the scales have been turning. To now, you're an outcast just about if you're following Jesus. But Jesus knew this would take place. He's already told you, follow me. Follow me and be an awesome life. You'll be fantastic, but you're going to be persecuted, made fun of, be kicked out of some churches. You'll lose some of your employments. You may lose some of your housing sometimes, you know. Okay? But because of that, the good news is that we can do the same thing that Christ did, that He works through us. Amen? And our rewards, He says, will be in heaven. But there are some rewards we get now for following Him. You know, and Matthew 6:33. I'm going to touch base on a couple of these here before we get to the main text today. But Matthew 6:33, and this is one of my favorite texts. I share a lot of this during the week. And 33, I'm going to read above it, but 33 text says, but seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Okay? First, the condition. Seek first the kingdom of God. And what he's talking about, and many of you are familiar with this, it says, Christ says, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Okay. First of all, I tell you, don't be anxious, okay? So listen, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what kind of clothing you're going to wear, where you're going to be housed at. Don't worry about it. He goes on and describes how He feeds the birds and how the lilies are so beautiful. He describes all that. But you were made in the image of God. But what did He say? He said, but first of all, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So I ask you today, what needs do you have? What need is there that you're looking for? He promises he'll house you, he'll feed you, he'll clothe you. But the first thing you do is what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Study His Word. Allow the Word come alive in you. Allow that Word be your life. And He will provide all your needs. In Philippians 4:19 says He'll provide all your needs to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? But what's He say about the verse before that? As you give it all to the Lord, He'll provide all your needs. Okay? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And provide all your needs. You're sitting here today, well, Lord, I'm seeking your kingdom, but I still got needs that aren't met. I still have needs that I have that haven't been met yet. Well, He tells us in James 1:5. Jump over there for a second. James 1:5. He gives you a key. And that key is wisdom. Does any of you lack wisdom? Seek God and He'll give you wisdom above and beyond. So, if you are seeking the kingdom of God, if you're following the Lord, and you're seeing, well, my needs is not quite being met yet. Say, God, give me wisdom. Because I know your word is true. I know your word is true. And you say, as I follow you, you meet all my needs. Where am I messing up, but Lord? What am I doing with what you're providing my needs for or with? Okay? That's called getting honest with God. You say, God, okay, I know you're not a liar. You said you're doing, I am seeking you. I'm following you, man. I'm studying the Word of God. I'm coming to church. Lord, I'm praying. And Lord, but is this not coming together? I mean, my needs are not being met. Well, seek God for the wisdom. He'll show it to you. He'll show you maybe there's a loophole somewhere. There's a hole in whatever you do that what He's giving to you is falling through. Now, I testify many times here at the church. At one time, I probably put enough money into Tim Hortons per month. I put on two employees over there. Okay? But you stop and think for a second. Wow, if you would go to Tim Horton, me and my wife go to Tim Horton once a day, if we did. We did quite often. We'd go over there and we'd fellowship and stuff, you know. But you figure we'd spend at least $5 or $6 a day at Tim Horton's. Okay, that's a cup of coffee. Multiply that by 30. What do you have a month? $180. Wow. What happens if you just cut that in half? $90. Is it $90 you're spending or $90 you're saving? See how it goes? Wow, Lord, so if I just go down to one day a week, look at the money I'll have. And okay, what I'm saying there, look at it. There's money available there to pay bills, to meet my needs with, to share with others. My, that's amazing. That's why you see me put a little bit more money in the change jar. You know? Wow. But right there, seeking the wisdom. God, I know you meet my needs. Show me where is it falling through at. Boom. You know, maybe for some of us, maybe you might have a thing. Maybe you're smoking. Okay, nothing wrong with smoking. Don't get me down. I'm not getting down. Smoking. But if it's me, God ain't meet my needs. Well, maybe that's where your money's going through. And say, God, help me. Help me lay down these cigarettes. Okay, or maybe some of you going through McDonald's drive-through every day. You know, and you're getting them Happy Meals. They're Happy Meals until the end of the month comes and you have no food at all, and then they're not so happy, okay? Well, Lord, just help me just bypass McDonald's, you know, twice a week or three times a week, and take that money there and put it towards other things. I mean, there's so much stuff that we can see where how God's trying to provide for us, it filters through into the world, and you just stop and say, God, show me. Show me where my money's going. Or whatever it might be. How about time? You ever find out that you don't have enough time to get anything done? Don't you? I did too for the longest time. I realized. Well, I'll say this. I always envied my mother-in-law, Norma. Because she would always talk about getting up morning, 4:30 to 5 o'clock in the morning, putting a coffee on and getting her day started. You know, I think, wow, maybe I should get before 10 o'clock. You know, maybe I have more hours in the day, you know. Well, Lord, I can't get anything done. Well, start your gal bed sooner. Well, Lord, I can't. He said, you can. If you go to bed sooner, you can't expect to go to bed 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and get back up before. I'm not a spring chicken anymore. So if you get to bed by 11 o'clock, by 5:30, a quarter to 6, I hear the birds. You know, it just gets your whole day started. You know, God, give me wisdom. How can I do this? And He shows it to you. You know, whatever it is in your life, He says that you seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek for His wisdom. He'll help you just bring this whole life together. He'll make it enjoyable. He'll make it interesting. Amen? He will. His desire is to reward us, to help us. But the thing of it is that we just don't know. We just do not know when He's coming back, do we? Anybody here know when He's coming back? We know He's coming back when we least expect it. Mark 13, verse 32. He encourages here. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows of His return. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert, for you do not know when the appointed time is. It's like a man away on a journey who, upon leaving his house and putting his slaves in charge, assigning to each one his task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening, at midnight, at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all. Be on the alert. He's saying, be encouraged. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't walk away. You don't say, I've had enough of this. Because the harder it gets, the more you want to give up. But I tell you, the harder it gets, to me, it means the closer He's coming back. I mean, the greatest fight is at the very end. You ever watch a boxing match on TV? And they might sleep through maybe 4 or 5 rounds. You can dance around a little bit, you know. But when you get down that 15th round, boom, 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 boom. They are gone because they know the bell is coming quickly. They know that. Why do they know that? Because they read the rules before they started the fight. How do we know He's coming back? Because He told us. Amen? Amen. So we need to be on the alert. Don't give up. Don't fall asleep in the Lord. Don't say, oh, I give up. I'm not going to do this anymore. I've tried this before. You know, I've tried going to church, Daryl. I've tried doing this Jesus thing. And when I did, my life just got worse and worse. Oh, praise God that it did, because the enemy knew that you're drawing closer to the Lord, so He come against you. But what you need to do is draw closer to the Lord. Allow that Word. Let that Word be your instrument that protects you, that motivates you, that guides you. And no matter what comes against you, no matter how many temptations come your way to fall away, say, no, I don't want to. It's tough. It really is, isn't it? Amen? But as you hang around other Christians, and we come together, encourage one another, you'll find it easier to go through the trials of this time. Because He's coming back for us who are waiting for Him. To be encouraged of that. That He is coming back. The world will tell you, well, you guys, you Christians have been saying that for years, for decades, for hundreds of years. Ever since Christ ascended to heaven, the Christians have been saying, oh, He's coming back, He's coming back. We ain't seen Him yet. But did He not say He'll come in an hour and time? Least expected. The Word of God says that just like in the day of Noah, they were getting married and having vacations and buying new TVs and laying away or paying on a new Camaro. All kind of stuff was going on. And He came back suddenly. Suddenly, after 120 years of telling that He was coming. Amen? Yeah. Well, same here. He's coming back suddenly. But that suddenly is very, very close to His time. So be encouraged and don't give up. The reward we have will be in heaven. Plus here on earth. He'll give you what you need here on earth. But you know, I believe that He gives us just enough to keep us motivated. You know, let's say you went to work one day. You went to work, you worked one day, and your boss wrote you a check for $927,000. Wow! How many people would go back? Where's that? This factory. Yeah. It's a private one. But could you imagine getting a check for $927,000 first day of work? How many would go back to work the next day? No, Aaron would go back. Yeah, greedy. What would we pay you a second day? Yeah. But you wouldn't go, mostly you wouldn't go back. Wow, one day I got all the money that I need. And you would quit laboring. You would give up. Okay? But what you don't see in that $927,000 sounds like an awesome thing you put in the bank. Now you're going to try to live maybe 50 years off of it? No insurance? No retirement? How many of us has ever had that much money at one time? You raise your hand up, I'm going to eat dinner with you tonight. You know how much discipline that you take an offer, yeah. Bad tie, that's what we're talking about, yeah. No. You know how much discipline it would take to handle $927,000 or whatever the amount might be? It'd take a lot of discipline. You would have so many friends and family members coming out of woodwork and stuff. It wouldn't. But you know, as you go to work one day and you come back home, you go the next day and you go, and pretty soon payday comes. And man, you got just enough. Boy, you pay your room and you're bored, and you put gas in the car, maybe some clothing. But you know, Monday's coming. I got to go back to work because you know I need this another payday. But as you're doing this, as you're working, slowly but surely, there's a little bit of money being put aside for retirement. And retirement is what motivates you. Now, I've never worked at Clouds before. Never have. Maybe somebody here may have worked at Clouds, but they tell me it's really a hard place. It's a hot place to work. 130, 140 degrees in there, pipe and all that kind of stuff. I never met anyone that worked at Clouds and said, boy, I just can't wait to go to work tomorrow. I love going that heat. I love going in there and listening to the pipe banging back and forth. No. They go because they're motivated because of reward of a payday, because their family is depending on them. But some do go because they love the people they work with. Okay, but the work they do is very hard and treacherous. But they know that that's what they need to do. And they do that by looking towards the reward that they get on paydays. That's the same way of serving the Lord. We have to keep our eyes focused on the reward that's coming our way. Otherwise, man, we'll give up. We'll walk away. We might try to find other employment. And you find out the other employment, other than walking with the Lord, it doesn't have a very good retirement system. You know what I'm saying? Unless you like sunny beaches and a lot of heat, okay? You know, our lives here are very short compared to eternity. And it's worth the hassle we have to put up with when the world comes against us because we try to share the gospel and love of Jesus Christ. The hour and the time, he says, you don't know. But trust me, he says, I'm coming back. In Matthew 24, verse 36, verse 3. He says, and as he was sitting in the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming in the end of age? And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Amen? He said, disciples, followers of Christ, 2013, make sure that no one here will ever mislead you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. And you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Now, if it continues, it says, but they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you and will lead, and you will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And they'll kill you either physically or by reputation. They will insult you. They'll tear your reputation down to where they're, you mention the name of Opal and they'll say, Opal? I heard that she's one of them freaky things. You know what I'm saying? Don't go around Opal. Seriously, they will try to murder our reputation, for no one will come and listen to you. They will try to figure out that you're crazy or you're insane. And you see that's happening now in other countries, and it's coming to America. When you say that you believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, that He died for your sins, that He rose again and brought forgiveness to you, they're going, man, you're a freaky. They go, man, don't go around Carol White. Stay away from Carol White. She might make a good chocolate cake. But I'm telling you what, watch out. And they will have you alienated from one another. And Christ even said family members. Family members might even quit associating with us because I believe in Jesus. They say, hey, keep on going, keep on going. And at that time, many will fall away and will be delivered up one another and hate one another. So if we don't hang in there, you're going to turn away. That you will walk away from Jesus. Pat, you're not going to walk away from Jesus, are you?
No.
Okay, I thought maybe he's going to walk away. No, I'm just kidding you. But he said that many will. You think, well, I'll never walk. I'll never give up Jesus. But as you continue to follow him, stay in the Word, stay in fellowship, and be encouraged, you won't. But what happens? You fall away. People fall away because they say, well, I'm not going this week to church. The church doesn't save you, amen? Only Christ saved you. The church encourages you. We are the church, the body of Christ. But we find ourselves falling away a little bit. When you miss 1 week, you know it's easier to miss 2 weeks. Been there, done that. Then it's easier to miss 3 weeks. And about the fourth week that you miss, it's hard to come back because people say, hey, where you been? And you think, oh, well, where have I been? Let's see. This alien ship came and sucked me up, you know. No. But it's hard to get back in the thing. And our message is on the internet. And if you're listening to this and you find out, man, you've been out of church for several months, just come on back. Come on back. We've all been there and done that. Just come back and get back in fellowship and be encouraged because the time is very, very short for his return. So we will hate one another. Wow. Hate one another. He's talking about Christians that will turn on one another. How could that be? What would cause us to do that? What causes a marriage for husband and wife to turn on one another? Love, fellowship, communications. You know, as long as the Lord is still communicating to us through his word, and we're following that word, we won't turn on one another. We'll be strengthened, we'll be encouraged. But the minute we fall outside the word of God, and he sent his word, right? And the word is Jesus, and Jesus and God is love, right? So as we follow that word, we'll be encouraged, we'll be strengthened. And we won't fall apart. But the minute we fall away from the Word and start following man's ways, then we'll turn on one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Again, he's talking to the church. Okay? Not to us, all right? Amen. We're not going to grow cold, are we? No, we're not. Uh-uh. But the one who endures to the end shall be what? Shall be saved. As you endure to the end, as you go through the tribulations that will come against us, you'll be saved. I mean, you're saved right now. You're born again. As you continue to know that what's going to come towards the church, already been prophesied by Jesus. But he says, I'll be with you always, Joe. He said, I won't forsake you. I won't leave you. I'm standing there with you. You know, as Red Green says, we're in this thing together, Joe. As we continue to trust Jesus Christ, he says, man, you shall be saved. He said, in this gospel, the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations. And then the end shall come. So be encouraged. The gospel was in every nation. Okay? It says, in this gospel, the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. He said, it will be preached in the whole world. In the whole world. And that gospel is today in the whole world. It is in every nation today because of satellite. And because of brothers and sisters on the ground, barefooted. Because of those who travel days and days and days, barefooted, to bring the gospel to people who are waiting for it. Man, I was so blessed today. I put shoes on, socks on today. Got in an air-conditioned car and I drove 13 miles to church. Thank you, Lord. But I know I've got a brother out there and a sister somewhere. Egypt, China. They're on the ground right now. We gather here to worship God. They're on the ground. They're in places that's dark right now because they're located. They'll be slaughtered. But they are continuing to preach the gospel. And we read one day where a pastor and his wife traveled 28 hours on foot just to get to a bus station to go to a church service. That is determination. Amen? Amen. And what the good news is, guys, is that you help support that. We might be here in comfort today. Praise God. Okay? But we don't just look at ourselves. That you guys continue to support missions around the world who are out there barefooted bringing the gospel. And as they win souls to the Lord, you have a part of that. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. He said, then the end will come. Matthew 24, 36. Just jump down a little bit. In 36 he says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Only God knows when the Lord is coming back. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, and they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there shall be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. And what he's describing there is what is called the rapture of the church. The taking away of the saints. The day unknown, that quick, will be taken out of here. As we continue to be faithful to Him and follow Him, waiting for His return. You know, today could be the day that He returns. Amen? Amen? Now this wasn't, if I told you right now, Joe, at 3:30 today, Jesus Christ is coming back to get His church. You have got 4 hours and 15 minutes to go. What would you do? To think about that. Bonnie, the same question. What would you do if we knew today at 3:30 Jesus Christ was coming back?
Be prepared.
What would you do? Be prepared. That'd be a good thing to do.
Tell other people.
Amen. Start telling people. Why? Tell me, Carol, why aren't you doing it now? Why aren't you telling people today about Jesus Christ? Because He could be back at 12 o'clock today. Amen. Amen. Think about that. If we, as a church, as a body of Christ, if we truly believe His Word, and we truly believe the signs that we have right now, and we see them everywhere. You can't turn on the news, but you can't even walk across the street without seeing the signs. If we truly believe that He can come back any time, we should be living that way. Amen?
Amen?
We should be sharing. You know, continue to share as the Lord gives you opportunity. Don't pass it up. You know, we so blessed this week. You know, I had the opportunity here at in the ministry to share the gospel. You know, I had one lady come in, she actually asked me to be her pastor. And I said, well, let's talk. You know, let me explain what a pastor is. You know, because you have a minister, you have a pastor. Some people don't know the difference, you know. A minister brings the Word of God to you. The pastor does also, but then he makes sure that you stay with the Word. Okay, he's an encourager, a cheerleader, so to speak. So that's the difference between the two. And I explained it to him. You rah, 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 you know. Or sometimes you're coaching, say, come on, get them sit-ups done, you know. But that's what a pastor does, is try to encourage you to continue. And I shared that with her and talked to her about the Lord. And she received Jesus Christ as her Savior. Lord, she's going through some tough times right now. I'm praying that maybe next Sunday she'll be here with us. But to encourage one another. They're not to think, oh, he's not coming back. Or when you get in trouble, when you think, well, I still got a couple of years yet. You know, I'm going to just live my life the way I want to. You know that, Jason? I'm going to do what I want to for a couple of years. Then I'll get serious with the Lord. I'll give my life to Him, or I'll really get serious with following Him. And the thing of it is that none of us know the hour or day of His return or my leaving here, you know. So be encouraged with that. And every opportunity He gives us. And you don't know when the opportunity is there. You know, this week I just knew it. The Holy Spirit said, okay, here we go. Go speak, and I did. You know, sometimes it's not time to share yet. You know, there's always when you plant in a garden, there's time to plow, right? And then you kind of till it a little bit, and then you plant the seed, and you water it. Yeah. He'll show you how. But that quick is how quick the church will be out of here. And am I sharing the gospel with people nowadays in a town? The events is going to take place. And they're not quite sure they want Christ or not to be their Savior and Lord. I share to them the events of the rapture. That this day will take place. And when it happens, I'm not sure how they're going to explain where we all went. I mean, can you imagine trying to explain to people on CNN or Fox News, you know, where, you know, 600 million people went? You know, 100 million, or, you know, a billion people? Well, I mean, it's going to be... But they're finding some way to explain our disappearance other than the rapture of the church. So we need to share that with those who are, I'm not sure what I want to do. Well, let me just tell you what's going to take place. But when it happens, you have more knowledge and you're being encouraged that, yes, that's where we're at. And share that gospel. But he's coming back very, very soon. But when we get to heaven, Jason, we're going to get some rewards up there, like we said. Okay, we don't need them. Just getting in heaven is enough. But one reward we'll get will be the crown of life. Crown of life. Who wants a crown to wear? That's awesome. What was that butter commercial? Bing! I can't remember what it was now. Imperial margin. Okay. James 1:12. James 1:12. I have the American Standard and the New Living, both I share with out of the crowns. But James says that God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. Isn't that awesome? Patiently endure testing and temptation. Patiently. Wow. But you'll be tempted. Tempted at times to fall back into the world. Tested a few times. But man, I tell you what. The crown of life. You'll receive that in heaven. Now, all my studying that I've ever done on hell, I don't see any rewards of a crown in hell. Everything in hell describes as the gnashing of teeth, a place where the worm never dies, agony continually goes on day and night. I believe a lot of it will be the every time a person heard the gospel, they heard the call to come and give your life to the Lord, and they refused to come, be played over and over and over, and said fire. It's terrible. There's nothing that hell has to offer us that should be enticing to surrender the crown of life. Is there, Carol?
No.
No, I don't. There's not one thing in the hell I want. Not one thing. No. He says, your rewards are in heaven. A crown of life. In Revelation 2:10, he says, don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days. But if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. Now, in prison. A prison sometimes can be, your mind can be in prison. You know, heaviness. A spirit of heaviness can come over your mind. You just can't, you're a Christian, you're walking in the Lord, all of a sudden, man, you just get this depression over you, and you just want to give up. You think, man, life just ain't worth it anymore. Now, but we know that life is worth it, amen? We know that through Jesus Christ, everything can be defeated that comes against us. And that goes back to knowing the Word, like Brother Bob, that he studied. He had no idea why he was studying things about the pastor, okay? But he did it anyway, and the time came that knowledge he received came back to him. Very profitable, amen? Same with you today. You study the Word. Well, pastor, I don't need to know this. Maybe not today, you don't need to know it. But tomorrow you might need to know, or the next day, or it might be me. I might be the one that I just cannot see. I am so clouded down, so depressed, I just can't see any hope for tomorrow. And you'll come to me and bring the Word of God to me and set me free. You know, Paul and Silas, they knew how to stay out of prison. Okay? Everybody knows how to stay out of prison. How do you stay out of prison? Follow the law. Amen? But when you break the law, you find yourself in prison. And they broke man's law, found themselves in prison. But how were they delivered? By praising God. Worshiping Him no matter where they're at. They continue to worship Him and they were set free. And we are the same way. Our minds at times find itself being in prison. We just can't focus. We can't think. Sometimes, like I said earlier, we're just too close to the problem that we cannot see any daylight. Well, that's where you come in as my sister or my brother. You come and say, oh, Starkey, I see where you're going here. I see that you're just too bogged down. Let me pray with you. Remember what God says? He says, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. He says, man, he says, we're in this thing together. Well, that's Red Green said that, okay? But He died on the cross for me. He took my sins away. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've got a reservation in heaven. Man, we start thinking about that. Wow, what does this world have that can keep you down? So what? My cataract just got towed away, repossessed. That's all right. You know what? God knew that day was coming. He gave me a new pair of shoes. Amen? Amen. Hey, maybe I just lost my house. I mean, it happened. But you know what? I just bought me a tent. Or my brother Darrell just moved in a bigger house and got an extra bedroom. You know what I'm saying? He said he'll continue to provide. And we'll think, well, God, why did I lose my house? Well, you know, things happen. Amen? That takes place. But who knows? You know, well, Satan comes against you to destroy you. God will use it for good. So I lost my house. Next thing I know, I find myself with Darrell. Now, Darrell, right now you're not a Christian. Okay, I move in Darrell. He says, oh, come on in, Stark. Well, as I'm in Darrell's house now living there, he starts watching me, listening to me, see me go on to church, Bible study. And next thing you know, he starts coming with me. And before long, boom. God takes what Satan wanted to be bad, destroy me and make me mad and walk away from God to salvation for Darrell. That's just like kicking the old devil in the mouth. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. God will take anything in our life and turn it around. And the old saying is, when you get lemons, make lemonade. You know, and that might be a cliche, but that is so powerful, so true. Okay, God, you know, why did I lose my house? Maybe I should have sought for the wisdom earlier. Well, Starkey, if you didn't spend so much time at Tim Hortons, you know, you could have made your house payment, you know. I laugh because we did lose a house. How many years ago, Mom? 30 years ago. And I'll tell you what, best thing that ever happened. It is the best thing. I would not change it. I mean, at the time, it was devastating. I mean, if you remember, if anybody here had got $16,000, you just light on fire and burn up. No. But I'm telling you what, God took the location where we moved out to the farm, everything. I'm here today because of what took place. Did God cause it to take place? No. No. Should I, for one moment, maybe just seek a little bit more of the wisdom my dad gave me? Probably. Didn't tell me not to. Well, son, I don't know. But I didn't. Made a mistake. But, you know, I recovered from it. And God just made it awesome. Wisdom. But I'm telling you, whatever's going on in your life now, as you follow the Lord, He will use that to benefit the kingdom. One more thing. Now, Brother Bill, you might know how to do this. I don't know how to do this when God showed this to me. To build an atomic bomb. You know, I know you study history a lot. Anybody here know how to build an atomic bomb? I have no idea. You know when they built the atomic bomb, they didn't know what they were doing either? Think about that for a second. What? The atomic bomb? What it was that they took a little piece that needed to be done, and they would give it to Jason. I need you to build this for me, okay? It needs to be such and such a height and weight. Go over here. Betty, I need you to build this for me. Why? Hey, it's the government. They just build it, okay? And over here. Julius, I need you to build this for me, okay? He'll build this. Carol White. And everyone built things not knowing what they was doing. Only one or two people really knew what they were doing. But everyone was given a assigned task. But when everyone had their task done and it came together, boom, there was the atomic bomb. And though it was horrifying and terrific in nature, it ended the war, World War II. But no one knew exactly what they was doing, but they were just trusting the one who was in charge. In the same way today with Jesus Christ in your life. Okay, maybe you don't understand why this part of the puzzle like the way of it is. But I'll guarantee you, as we continue to trust Jesus Christ and follow Him, He'll take your piece of the puzzle and Joe's piece of the puzzle and Bonnie's piece of the puzzle and bring it all together and we'll see everything completed. But we won't see this. We won't see this until we are with Him. Okay, we won't quite understand. But the day we'll see how it all fits together. Oh, Lord, is that why? Oh, wow, then I guess you knew what you were doing anyway. Amen? Amen. So just learn to trust Him. Seek His wisdom and allow Him to bring you through it. Just trusting that maybe your piece of the puzzle is exactly what needs to fit in to Brother Joe's piece that will tie in to Betty's piece. And thy will shall be done.
Amen.
On earth as it is in heaven. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you, God, that you're with us through the times here upon the earth and for eternity, Lord. We thank you for the encouragement, God, that even though we can't see the big picture right now, we just trust you with everything that we have. Father, where will we go outside of you? What does the world have to offer us for eternity? Nothing. So, Father, I just thank you so much for allowing me to bring forth your word today. We do give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God is awesome. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and grant you peace. May you walk in his love, his kindness. May his hand be upon you, your household, and upon your children's children's children, that all shall call upon the Lord as their Savior. And one day, be united with everyone through Christ in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.